Psalm 63 is where we're going to look this morning as we confess our sins. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 63. This is the word of the Lord. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. I've chosen the psalm this morning for us because it has been my prayer that we as a church would be a people who hunger and thirst for the living God. And that is what is expressed in the Psalm of David. And you see in the introductory words of the psalm that he was in the wilderness. He was traveling abroad, away from Jerusalem. And he was longing not just to be home, not just to get food and water, but he was longing to behold the power and glory of God in the sanctuary. That's what he wanted most of all. This is a helpful psalm because it teaches us about the barrenness of the world in which we live. Here, David was, of course, in a physically barren place. We live in a somewhat similar location in a high altitude desert of sorts. But more significantly than the lack of rain that we experience is the spiritual barrenness that we experience in this world. And as we are with the people of the world where there is a spiritual deadness, a numbness to the things of God, if we are alive in the Holy Spirit, we must desire to be in that place where there is life. We must desire, as David did, to behold the power and glory of God in the sanctuary. People are wandering around this barren desert, this Sahara desert of spirituality where there is so little life, and they're not finding much. They're seeking these idols and they're effectively eating cactus. Not very life-giving. And yet for us, in God's abundant grace, we are not those who have to wander around in the desert, dead, parched, without life, because we have been given life. We have turned from these idols. 1 Thessalonians 1 describes our great and glorious position now in the Lord. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." So praise be to God that we are those people who know that idols are fruitless, they're worthless, they're empty, they cannot give life. In Jeremiah 2, these idols are described as broken cisterns that do not hold water. And so many are out in the desert with broken cisterns. They need water, they want water, but they can't get it because they have broken cisterns. But that's not us. We can come to the worship of God and be satisfied with great spiritual feasting. And that's what we're here to do this morning. So notice the verses 1 and 2. I'll read these again. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Here he expresses his devotion to the living God. He says, "You are my God, and therefore I will seek you." He longs for the Lord because he loves the Lord. There's nothing more that he wants than to be back in the sanctuary, to be with the corporate worship of God's people, to behold God's power and glory. This is such a satisfying thing for David. And what we long for is a commentary upon what we love, upon what we treasure. Do we long for the worship of God? Do we long to come and to behold his power and glory, to experience his loving kindness in the assembly of the saints? And there are times where we must confess that our hearts are cold. The spiritual barrenness of the desert has made us a little barren as well. And we want to be refreshed. We want life again. And I tell you that we have come this morning to an oasis. You've come to an oasis where these things are set forth for us again, and we can experience the power and glory of God and be satisfied. And so if you have sought idols this week and you have found them empty, then be reminded, brothers and sisters, you've come now to a place where you can be satisfied. That is what we will experience in the sanctuary of God. And that's why he says, "I look to the sanctuary. I want to behold the power and glory of God." It's true that all of our lives are to be filled with worship, but he does here give a priority to the assembly, the sanctuary, this place where the people of God would come to worship. And he was greatly impressed with the power and glory of God. He loved it. He wanted nothing more than to see these things. Is that your desire, brothers and sisters? To behold the power and the glory of God. Does this excite you? Is this an awe-inspiring thing? If we find God's worship to be boring, it says much more about us than it does about the living God. It says much about our spiritual condition. It says much about how barren we are and how much we need life. Martin Lloyd-Jones once commented that people in past centuries of the church would just long for a 70-part sermon series on the attributes of God. Just preach God to me. I want to know him. I want to see him. I want to behold him. This is satisfying. And that should be the case with us. Rather than wanting sermons that are about us, we want to behold the power and the glory of God. That is far more impressive. That is far more beautiful than beholding ourselves. Verse 3, he says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." God's love and mercy toward us is better than everything else you enjoy. Anything else that he's given you in life, no matter how comfortable your life is, his loving kindness is far better than all of that. And that reminds us that if we lost all of these things, whatever good things we enjoy in life, his loving kindness is with us still, and that is the greatest thing. And so he says, that is why I will praise you. Your loving kindness is glorious. It's better than life. I will praise you because of that. Verse 5, he says, "As I come into that worship, as I behold your power and glory, as I experience your loving kindness," he says, "my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." So I can assure you, as you come into this worship by faith, as you behold the power and glory of God, as you commune with the living God, that you will experience satisfaction. And so as we confess our sins this morning, let us consider whether we come to the sanctuary with a hunger and a thirst for God. Do you enter this time of worship parched and ready to be fed, desiring the spiritual food that we have here? I think each of us can say there are times when our hearts are cold to the things of God. We can come on a Sunday morning and feel rather empty, rather cold. There's times when we're not very spiritually minded. We've been wandering around the Sahara Desert and it's affected us. And so let us pray for this heart longing, this soul-thirsting desire that he describes here. Let us say with David that our soul would thirst for the living God as in a dry and weary land. Let's pray. O God, you are our God. We come grateful for your amazing loving kindness. It is better than life itself. We've come this morning to behold your power and glory, and we pray now that by the power of your Spirit, you would give us hearts that truly hunger and thirst for you. We confess that we get confused about the source of living water. We have sometimes turned back to the broken cisterns of the world looking for satisfaction, and it has left us empty. But we acknowledge that it is only in Christ that we can have this living water. We ask that you would forgive us for our coldness and that you would revive in us this spiritual longing. And we pray that we might experience the marrow and fatness that you have provided for us today. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.